Hello, and thank you for joining us today. This is our worship service for May 10th, and we're grateful that you've been able to join us through YouTube or through our church website. We're glad that you're able to follow along and worship at home and be with us in this way today. I want to share first rejoicing at Mother's Day celebration of all the moms and grandmas out there. We are grateful for all that you do for our families, and as we celebrate Mother's Day this weekend, we are certainly happy to pray for you and to celebrate what you do, and hope that you're able to say hello to your mom. If you can't be in the same room with her, which I know that's the case unfortunately for a lot of families right now, but maybe through a phone call or through the internet or some way that you can reach out to your mom, to your grandma, to if you are a mom, you can reach out to your children. But we hope that this special celebration this weekend of Mother's Day for all of our families. I also want to encourage the members of our church to join us for our fellowship time Sunday at 11 a.m., just as we've done the past few weeks. You have the information for connecting to Zoom, the same login information that we've used the past few weeks. So we hope that you'll be a part of that on Sunday morning at 11 a.m. And again, welcome. We're grateful that you're here with us. As we begin our worship today, we're going to hear from God's Word. As we think about the Holy Spirit being at work in our lives and especially in the life of the church, let me share a reading with you. This is from 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 1 through 11. Now about the gifts of the Spirit, brothers and sisters, I do not want you to be uninformed. You know that when you were pagans, somehow or other, you were influenced and led away by mute idols. Therefore, I want you to know that no one who is speaking by the Spirit of God says, Jesus be cursed. And no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them and in everyone, it is the same God at work. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one, there is given through the Spirit a message of wisdom. To another, a message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by that one Spirit. To another, miraculous powers. To another, prophecy. To another, distinguishing between spirits. To another, speaking in different kinds of tongues, and to still another, the interpretation of tongues. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and He distributes them to each one just as He determines. I want to first say a word of thank you to Nancy for playing the piano for us. You're hearing some familiar hymns, and we're grateful that even though we're not in the same room, I'm sure some of you at home are singing along, and it's good to have that worship that we're familiar with and to be able to rejoice together through music as well as through prayers and scripture readings and the sermon. So thank you to Nancy, we are actually in the same room, but we're about 15 feet apart, so we are grateful to be able to bring that music to you today. As we continue to worship now, I want to encourage you and thank you for supporting the church through your giving. We're grateful that the church continues to receive strong support from our church family, and thank you for contributing. I know many of you are mailing in gifts, and others are giving online, and we appreciate what you're doing to sustain our ministry. God's Word tells us that we are to excel in the grace of giving, that we should be good at being generous, that we should be good at sharing with those in need around us. And please know that your gifts are not only enabling the ministry of our church, but we also continue to support ministries through the Covenant Church. We continue to provide support through Vita Eterna and their continuing efforts to plant a Spanish-speaking church here in Rockford, and other ministries that we support in Rockford and missionaries around the world. So we appreciate your continued faithfulness to give to enable the work of God's kingdom. Let me invite you now to join me in a word of prayer. Father, we give you thanks today for all the ways that you supply our needs. Lord, even as we live through a difficult moment in our nation, really in our world, we know that you are still a good God, that you still see our needs and you provide. And so, Father, I give you thanks today that our ministry is able to continue. Even, Lord, when we're not together, we pray for one another. We reach out to each other through phone calls and letters and online ways of communicating. And we thank you, Lord, that you're enabling us to stay together as a church family. I thank you, Lord, also that you are supplying the needs of our ministry, that we continue to receive gifts and offerings from our church family, and that is enabling us to move forward. Father, we also lift up to you the needs of our own lives today. Father, you are a gracious God. You are a powerful God. You're a God of healing. We think of all the ways that Jesus reached out and touched those in need, and by his power, he restored sight to the blind, and hearing to the deaf, and speech to the mute. He took away diseases and cast out demons. And Lord, we know that that power is still available through prayer and through the name of Jesus Christ. And so we lift up to you today those who are in need of your healing. We think first, Father, of those in our church family. We pray, Father, for Sylvia, who's in need of comfort and encouragement. We pray for Darlene, who's in need of healing. We think, Lord, of Mary, also in need of your healing and peace. Father, for many others who whose names we won't mention here, but you know, Lord, those needs and concerns that are real, and that you are able to bring your peace and your healing into their lives. Father, we also think of our community. We think of people throughout the Rockford region and Illinois and all across our nation, those who are dealing with the effects of the coronavirus, but also, Lord, so many other illnesses and concerns and worries and burdens that people carry. Father, draw near to those in need today. Lord, we do pray for an end to this virus situation. We pray for doctors and researchers and scientists and nurses and all those working hard to eradicate this virus. We pray, Lord, for a treatment. We pray for a vaccine. We ask, Lord, that life would begin to continue to return to normal. Father, we pray also for businesses, for those who are feeling the effects of the financial situation. We pray especially for those who are unemployed and not receiving income now. Lord, sustain them and give them hope. And Father, we pray that quickly we could return to doing all the things, not only that we enjoy doing, but things that we need to do to sustain life in our community. So Father, in all these things, we trust you. We thank you for hearing our prayers. And I pray now that as we continue through this time of worship together, as we open our hearts to you, I pray, Lord, that you would help us to worship wherever we are, whenever we are listening to this video. I pray that you would help us to worship you and that you would prepare us now to hear your word and to respond to your goodness. Lord, we love you and we pray all these things in the powerful name of Jesus our Savior. Amen. I think we've all been in a situation before where we've been asked to do something that we know we can't do, or that maybe you're not very good at, or you're pretty sure that if you try to do what you've been asked to do, you're going to end up embarrassing yourself. When I was serving the Covenant Church in Lansing, Michigan, quite a few years ago now, I helped lead a worship service once a month at one of the local nursing homes. And there was a nice older couple in the church who organized this and led the music, and then I would preach and pray, and we had a nice service there every month. Worked out pretty well most Sundays, except for one Sunday afternoon when I arrived there, and the man who led the singing told me that he had lost his voice, and so I would need to sing. Now, if you've ever stood near me during worship, you know that that's not a very good idea. I can sing, of course. Everybody can sing. The problem is that I don't sing the right notes at the right time, or it might actually be that the notes that I sing are not actual musical notes, which makes it a little bit of a problem when you're trying to lead other people in singing. So there I was, in front of maybe two dozen or so nursing home residents, struggling my way through whatever it was, How Great Thou Art, or whatever the song for the day was. Now, to make matters worse, only two of the residents there ever sang along, and so it really did turn into kind of a one-man show. The good news, though, is that most of the residents couldn't hear very well, and so they didn't seem to mind my singing. But I definitely was the wrong man for the job. And I knew it, and everyone within earshot knew it as well. Sometimes I think of that experience when I preach, because I wonder how the Spirit will carry my voice and my words into the hearts of the congregation. The truth is, I can't preach much better than I can sing, except for the amazing fact that the Holy Spirit enables my words and carries my words into the hearts of those who listen. The Spirit takes my feeble abilities and uses me to proclaim God's truth. And so what you hear, and even in this odd way of preaching to an empty room, and you're watching through some kind of computer screen a couple days later, the Spirit is able to carry my words to you so that what you hear is far better and more interesting and more truth-filled and more inspiring than any words that I could have spoken on my own. That's how it works in the church. It's also how it worked in the early church. And as we continue to read through the book of Acts today, we're going to think about how the Spirit enabled the disciples to do far more and far better than they could ever have done on their own with all of the work and ministry that they did in that first generation of the church. This morning, or today, we're going to read the Pentecost story, the story of how the Spirit fell on that first gathering of disciples and how they were enabled to do something that they couldn't have done without the Holy Spirit. Now, it's a long story. It covers most of Acts chapter 2. And so I'll read part of the story and then I'll fill in some of the details. But before I start reading, we need to understand what the disciples were feeling that day as they were waiting for the Spirit to come, just as Jesus told them that soon the Spirit would fall on them. You see, Jesus had stayed with the disciples for 40 days following the resurrection. And He taught them and He shared meals with them. He even continued to perform miracles among them. And Jesus also gave them their mission, the plans for building and growing the church of Jesus Christ. So Jesus told them that they should go and tell people everywhere about Him. And He said to them, start here in Jerusalem. And then work your way out as far as the ends of the earth. Establish ministries in each town and village and city and train leaders and send out missionaries and raise money and gather food so that you can care for the poor and the widows. And oh, by the way, Jesus said, as you do all this, you're going to be persecuted. The local authorities will try to stop you everywhere you go. And many of you will be imprisoned. Some of you will be tortured. Some of you will be killed because of your testimony and your ministry in the name of Jesus. Oh, and also, by the way, Jesus said, most of the people that you try to reach are going to reject you. And they're going to make fun of the things that you believe in. And you will be considered outcasts and fools by the culture around you. But keep at it, Jesus said. Keep telling people about me until you've covered the whole earth. Oh, and by the way, again, Jesus said, I'm leaving you now. And so you're going to have to do all of this work without me. Now, there were at this time roughly 30, we don't know the exact number, but somewhere around 30 believers in Jerusalem. There were the 12 disciples. Of course, mine is Judas, and then he was replaced by Matthias. And then there were the three women who found the empty tomb and were the first to know about the resurrection. And then there was Jesus' own mom and his brothers and maybe a handful of other men and women. That was about it, though. They could all fit into one room. And so Jesus says, okay, guys, go start the church. And don't stop until you've reached the ends of the earth. And they must have looked at each other, especially after seeing Jesus ascend into heaven. And they must have thought, what? How are we supposed to do all of that? Jesus had also said many times over and over, and especially he repeated it just before he ascended into heaven. He also said, I'm going to send you the Holy Spirit to help you. And so that's where our story begins today. It was just a little over a week after Jesus had ascended into heaven. And so in Acts chapter 2, we read this introduction to the story. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. And they saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now there were staying in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment because each one heard their own language being spoken. Utterly amazed, they asked, "Aren't all these who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them in our native language?" Just as Jesus had promised, the Spirit fell on the church that day in a powerful way. And it's interesting, they had just seen Jesus ascend into heaven, and it says here that there was a sound like a blowing of a violent wind that came from heaven. And so the promise that Jesus has made has become fulfilled. It's come true in their presence. Jesus has sent back His own Spirit to be with them. And it was this whirlwind around them and then tongues of fire and the miraculous empowerment of the disciples. They were given the ability in that moment to speak in different languages. Now, this outpouring of power was for a very special and specific purpose on that occasion. And that was so that they could go and share the good news with people who were gathered there in Jerusalem from all over the world, who had come for this festival known as Pentecost. And so the disciples went outside and they began to talk about Jesus. And each one could speak in a language that they didn't know before the Spirit fell on them. That was the miracle of that day. But someone there in the crowd of all these, as it says, God-fearing Jews, that is, people from all over the world, not just born into the nation of Israel, but people who had come to seek after God from all over, and they had come to Jerusalem to worship and praise God there according to the Jewish traditions. Now they began to hear about Jesus Christ in their own native language, spoken by the disciples. Spoken by, as the people in the crowd said, "Aren't these people who are speaking all Galileans?" And yeah, they were. Not that they were all just from Galilee, but they were just regular folks who grew up speaking Hebrew or Aramaic, which was the common language at the time. And they didn't know the languages that suddenly they were enabled to speak. And that was the miracle of that moment. And what I want to draw our attention to as we go through this story is how the Spirit fell on the church. And the first thing to notice here in verses 3 and 4, it says, they saw what seemed like tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. And all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit. And here's the first amazing truth from this story, which is still true for us today in the church. The Spirit enables each of us and all of us to serve Jesus. So first it says the Spirit came to rest on each of them. And we know who was in the room that day. It was Peter and James and John and the other disciples. And it was Mary Magdalene and it was Joanna and it was Mary the mother of James, the three women who went to the tomb on Easter morning and found it empty and realized that Jesus had risen from the dead. We know that Jesus' own mother was in the room that day, and each one who was there, the Spirit came and rested on them. But then it also says all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit. That is the whole church. All of them together received the power and presence of the Holy Spirit. And that's still how it is with the Spirit working in the church today. Each one of us, each follower of Jesus Christ, we have the Spirit living inside of us. I do, and if you know Jesus as your Savior, then you have the Spirit living inside of you right now where you are. Even though we're not all gathered together, the Spirit is at work in your heart right now through the promise of Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit comforts us. The Spirit guides us as we pray. The Spirit inspires us to worship. And as you sit at home now and you listen to the music and the prayers and God's Word, the Spirit is moving in your heart to help you worship. The Spirit also helps us as we read Scripture. Just as the Spirit is working through me now and helping you to hear God's Word as you listen, that is the work of the Spirit bringing God's Word into your life. The Spirit also gives us spiritual gifts. The passage we read earlier from 1 Corinthians chapter 12, the Spirit enables each of us in special and important ways to serve the mission of the church. And that's true not just in the life of someone like me who stands up here to preach, but it's true for everyone in the church, every follower of Jesus. At the same time, the Spirit works in the whole church. The Spirit works among all of us together, moving among us, binding us together, forging within the church unity and common purpose. And the Spirit is what is holding us together, even when we are physically apart. We are still spiritually held together by the work of the Holy Spirit. The Spirit flows through our worship and our singing and our prayers. The Spirit guides us when we are able to gather to serve and honor Jesus and open God's Word and all that we do together. It is the Spirit that is moving among us. So that's the first amazing truth from Acts chapter 2. But there's more to this story. The crowd from all over the world that was gathered there, and the disciples go out and begin preaching about Jesus, speaking about Him in all these different languages, and the people are amazed and surprised. And how do these men and women know my language, and how can they speak to me in my own native tongue? And some of them there in the crowd even thought the disciples were drunk, and it's because they heard their language being spoken, but then they heard other languages that they didn't know being spoken, and they thought, what's going on? And in that sense, some of them were confused and couldn't quite figure it out, and all these languages being spoken at once. And so then in verse 14, we pick up the story. It says, "Then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice, and addressed the crowd. Fellow Jews, and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These people are not drunk, as you suppose. It's only 9 in the morning. No, this is what was spoken of by the... This is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my Spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my Spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. I will show wonders in the heavens above, signs on the earth below, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." And then Peter, beginning with that passage from Joel, Peter preached the first sermon of the church age. And he talked about who Jesus is. He talked about what Jesus did for us and how Jesus came to fulfill Old Testament prophecy. And he told about Jesus' death and his resurrection, which had just happened in that very city just a few weeks before. And it was a powerful sermon heard by thousands of people as they were gathered there in Jerusalem. Now we'll read, in just a minute, we'll read more about how the crowd responded to Peter's sermon. But first we need to remember who Peter was, because I think that will help us better understand the work of the Spirit in our own lives. You'll remember that Peter was a fisherman, which means back 2,000 years ago, back in their context, back in their day, Peter was a hard-working business owner. And when Jesus came along, Peter left his boat and left his nets, and he went to follow Jesus. Peter became a leader among the disciples. He was often the first one to answer any question that Jesus would ask. Peter was right there with an answer, sometimes right, sometimes wrong, but Peter was the first to jump in. He was quick to volunteer for anything that Jesus suggested. Peter was also the first one to declare in a public way in front of the other disciples to say, Jesus is the Messiah. That was Peter. Peter also, though, tried to talk Jesus out of dying on the cross. Peter thought he had a better plan. In fact, Peter was the one who, when Jesus was being arrested in the garden, and Jesus not resisting that at all, but Peter draws his sword and he attacks one of the guards there in this sort of ill-conceived, doomed-to-fail rebellion that Peter thought he would lead. And then Peter denied knowing Jesus. Not once, not twice, but three times, while Jesus stood on trial there all alone. And so Peter was left ashamed and paralyzed with fear and uncertain about what to do next. But then, just a few weeks later, Peter is the one who stands up in front of this enormous crowd, thousands of people, just steps from the place where he had denied even knowing Jesus. And Peter is the one who preaches the sermon, the first sermon of the church on Pentecost. So what could have happened in Peter's life? How could someone like Peter suddenly have this sort of courage and eloquence and faith to be able to preach this sermon in front of people who had been there when Jesus was sentenced to death? The only possible explanation of this radical transformation in Peter's life was the power of the Holy Spirit that fell on him on that Pentecost day. And here's the truth that we need to believe in our lives. The Spirit empowers us to do what we can't do on our own. The Spirit empowers us. That's exactly why Jesus sent His Spirit to us. Jesus gave His followers this enormous task of building the church and spreading His love and sharing His message to the ends of the church, to the ends of the earth. And we can't possibly do that on our own. But with the power of the Holy Spirit, well, here we are, 2,000 years later. And the message of Jesus Christ has been proclaimed to the ends of the earth. People know and worship Jesus in virtually every corner of the earth today. Millions upon millions of believers gather for worship or lift up the name of Jesus in their homes. Right now, in this moment, the Spirit empowers you to do what you can't do on your own. The service that you offer to Jesus, the ways that you work in the life of the church, every time you pray, every time you worship, every time you love someone, a neighbor or a family member, in the name of Jesus, the Spirit empowers you to do it, and to do it better and smarter and stronger and with more excellence and producing more fruit than you could ever do on your own. And that's true in my life as well. Now listen to what happened as Peter finished his sermon. In verse 37 it says, When the people heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the other apostles, "Brothers, what shall we do?" Peter replied, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins. And you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call. With many other words, he warned them and he pleaded with them, save yourselves from this corrupt generation. And those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day. I can tell you as a preacher, how people respond to a sermon has little to do with how clever my words are or any bright ideas I might have had as I prepared the sermon or any interesting stories that I may sprinkle in the midst of preaching. It is the work of the Holy Spirit that carries the preacher's imperfect words into the minds and then deeply into the hearts of those who listen. And if lives are changed, it is only by the power of the Holy Spirit. The same is true for anything that any of us do as we serve Jesus in the life and ministry of the church. So here's the amazing truth that we need to be grateful for today. The Holy Spirit works through us to draw people to Jesus. That's how people come to Jesus. It's how it happened on Pentecost 2,000 years ago and all through the history of the church, and it's still how it happens today. The Spirit works through people like us to draw those who need to find new life to Jesus Christ. The first church of Jerusalem grew that day from, again, just a few dozen to over 3,000. And it happened because the Holy Spirit fell on the church and used Peter and the other apostles and the other followers of Jesus to share the good news. All the good things that we accomplish as a church, any fruit that we produce in the kingdom of God, all of it is evidence of the Holy Spirit working through us and in us. So when we gather together to worship and feel inspired, or when we pray and see God's hand move among us, or when we enjoy close, loving fellowship within the church, or when we help each other as we read and apply God's Word, or as we seek to grow in our faith, or when we reach out to those in need and see lives changed, all of it happens only because of the Holy Spirit's power working among us. And this is especially and mostly true when someone hears the good news and they turn away from their sin and they find new life through Jesus Christ. That can only happen. It can only happen through the power of the Holy Spirit working in the church of Jesus Christ. That is how the Spirit has worked in the church for 2,000 years. That's how each one of us came to know Jesus, through the witness of another believer who is empowered and inspired by the work of the Spirit. And that is also how the next generation of the church will come to faith. It all started on that Pentecost day when the Holy Spirit fell on the church. Let me invite you to join me in a word of prayer. Gracious Lord, we give you thanks today for your Holy Spirit, for your Spirit that is alive and powerful in our lives today. You live within us. You dwell within our hearts. You move within our souls. You empower our work and our words and our ministry. And Father, I pray that as we seek to serve you, as we seek to share the love and message of Jesus with people in need, I pray that your Spirit would be powerful among us. And Lord, maybe more than at any time in the life of our time in the church, we need the Holy Spirit among us now. During this time of separation and when our ministries don't look anything like they normally do, Lord, we need to know that Your Holy Spirit is moving among us and binding us together and empowering us to do things that we can't do on our own. And Lord, I pray that Your Holy Spirit would carry my words spoken here today and through even this technology into the lives and hearts and minds of those who will listen. And I pray that Your Spirit would change lives. Father, I pray even that those who are listening today who don't know Jesus, or maybe who are struggling in their faith, that Your Spirit would carry Your Word into their lives in a powerful and life-changing way. Lord, we thank You for the assurance that You are still at work and that Your church still has the power of the Spirit moving among us. Lord, we thank You for Jesus, our Savior, and we thank You for Your Spirit that is at work in our lives, and we dedicate ourselves and all that we do in the name of Jesus to serving You and telling His story. Lord, we love You and we pray these things in the name of our Savior. Amen. I want to thank you for joining us for this time of worship. And if you are able to share this video, this link with others, please feel free to do that through email or however you'd like to share with family and friends. But we thank you for being a part of our ministry, for worshiping along with us, for hearing God's Word today. Now receive the blessing that God has for each of you today. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit now and always. Amen.